Dear brothers and sisters, friends, though we are at a distance, we are connected at this moment when we have heard this wonderful Bible reading, the last part of Matthew's Gospel. Sarah, so much thanks for reading this with us. Let us pray while we will preach, explain this word. Let us pray. Dear God and Father, dear Jesus, we thank you for your word and for your Holy Spirit. Grant us your Spirit in speaking, that we may hear your voice, that we may see your Son Jesus, that we may worship, and that we may be your witness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we finish the series on Matthew's Gospel. And in fact, we now realize that the goal of Matthew's Gospel was that we would meet Jesus, the Savior King. And the goal of Matthew, of course, was and is that we realize ourselves, that we find ourselves today in a new situation. You all know what it is to be in a new situation. For not so long ago, we were in a different situation from now. And the amazing thing is that you can't see it. When you go outside, the sun shines, the birds are singing, you can't see it, you can't feel it. It's as if it is not there, but you know that it's there. How do you know it? You've heard it. You follow the news, the press conferences, and you know you better adapt. And we do that. We have adapted to the new situation, not on the basis of what we see, but on the basis of what we heard. We know what the new situation is. And that's Matthew's purpose in writing his gospel and sharing it with us, to know what the situation is that we are in. Namely, that God has so loved this world that he gave his only Son, the Redeemer, the King who died for us to let death die, and who rose from the dead. And he is our triumphant King in heaven. That's the new reality we are into. Say, when you would live in a neighborhood where there would be people without access to television, newspapers, or anything like that, wouldn't you feel some responsibility to share what's going on? For instance, when you live in the States, close to an Amish community, I think you would feel some obligation to share what's going on with them if you've got some compassion in your heart. Well, today, our last sermon on Matthew's Gospel is rightly about that. It's about sharing what's the new situation, what's going on. That's the passage we now today look at. And I ask your careful attention for this passage. It are just a few words, but for me, it took me a whole week of study to find out really what is in it. So I try to summarize it concise for you in order to empower you and to enable you to share the message. First, let us look at the meaning of the text in a few steps, and then we will in sum see what the message is and how it applies into our lives. What's in this part of the Bible? In fact, we see five things. The passage is called the Great Commission. Jesus gives the commission to share what is the news. And in this passage, we see five things. First, we see the persons who receive the commission. Then we see the place where the commission is given. Then we see the person who gives the commission. Then we will see the purpose of the commission. And in the end, we will see where the power for the commission comes from. So the persons who receive the commission, the place of the commission, the person who gives the commission, the purpose of the commission, and the power for the commission. First, the persons. Who receive the commission? those who have walked for, say, 3 years with Jesus, to listen to his words, to see who he is, took time to learn to know Jesus. And Matthew has taken time to help us meet Jesus. It's not a thing that happens in one day. It takes time. That's fine. Also for you. The disciples now realize and see who Jesus is. Pay careful attention what Matthew writes. He writes the 11. He could just have said the disciples went to Galilee. No, he says the 11. There were 12, weren't there? 11 does not mean 12 minus 1, just simply math. No, this means there is pain in this community. They're missing one. Now, I don't mean Jesus. They were missing him, but they receive him back. They're missing Judas, one of them, always with them. They are a broken community now. Not only because Judas is not there, but also because they faced who they are. Once they thought, well, we will be brave. We will fight on the side of Jesus. We will be courageous people. But now they've discovered who they are. Have you discovered who you are too? Don't lose heart, my friend, if you feel brokenness about others, about yourself. This brokenness is needed in order that Jesus can use us. The 11 disciples. So they received the commission, and look at these 11. They are now going together to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had commissioned them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. This is a very important verse. In fact, this is the goal of Matthew's book, that you see Jesus, not with your physical eyes, but that you grasp who Jesus is. And when you really see with the eyes of your heart who Jesus is, this wondrous, wondrous, glorious Son of God, who gave himself for our sins, who died, who suffered, who rose again, when you see him, then you will worship him. Not only with your mind, but with your whole body. You will kneel, you will bow your head, you will give all you have for this wondrous king. When they saw him, they worshipped him. I don't think that when they saw Jesus, that Jesus was really bright and lightning and so on. I think they saw the Jesus as they knew him. It was not just what they saw, but they realized that, wow, he's there again. Yes, he's the Son of God. And that made them kneel and worship. That's the goal. However, when we look at the persons whom Jesus commissions, they saw him, worshipped him, but Matthew says, some doubted. Yeah, would you doubt when you see a risen Jesus? Actually, you've heard a lot of sermons. Perhaps you still have your doubts. However, also these doubters received a commission. That's beautiful, isn't it? The word Matthew uses in Greek is a broader word than doubt. He uses the word hesitate. They hesitated to worship. Doubt, in fact, is a form of hesitation. It's hesitation of your mind. So much going on in your mind that you don't grasp who Jesus is. It might be you who hesitate with your mind. But when you're sure in your mind that Jesus is the Son of God, there might be other hesitations. There might be hesitations in your heart. In your heart to love Jesus, to surrender Jesus with all your feelings. Or there might be hesitations in your body to be obedient to Jesus, to go the way Jesus shows you. Some doubt. I'm thankful that Matthew mentions it. It encourages me, and I hope it encourages you, for all these disciples, also the hesitators, were receiving the commission. Enough now about those who receive the commission. Let's look a moment at the place where the commission is given. Jesus has planned that. He could say it everywhere, but he chose a place. He had said to the women and to the disciples, they must go to Galilee, to that and that mountain. Why Galilee? When you've joined the whole series, you remember Galilee. It's where it all began. It's the place where Jesus called his disciples, where he told them, you will be fishers of men. You will not only be saved, I will involve you in saving others. That was Galilee. As the prophets had said, this place, this, in the eyes of Israel, a bit dark place on the border of the Gentile countries, this place will be the place where God's light will be. It begun there, and now the end of the gospel, we return to Galilee, to a mountain. And if you remember the whole series, we have seen mountains more often. On a mountain, God revealed himself to Israel, made his covenant with his people. And on a mountain, Jesus announced the new covenant. You remember that, chapters 5 to 7, Sermon on the Mount. On a mountain, with Peter and John and James, I think, was revealed who Jesus was. The transfiguration on the mount, you remember that. Okay, a special place. When you are on this mount in Galilee, and you look to one side, you can look deep into Israel, in the direction of Jerusalem. But when you are on this mountain in Galilee, you can also look the other side. Then you see the Gentile countries, all kind of nations and people living there. Jesus carefully selected this place to give his commission. For he is the king, the ruler, the sovereign Messiah for Jews and Gentiles. For Abraham's family, for Adam's family, for the whole world. So now let us look at the person who gives the commission. Let us look at Jesus. First, we hear two things Jesus does. And then we listen to his words. First thing that Jesus does is Jesus came. Literally in Greek, it says Jesus came near, approached the disciples. That's wonderful, for we remember some of them were doubting. And what is Jesus doing in response? What would you do when you're a teacher on the university? You've spent 3 years in teaching your students. And after 3 years, there are some who still don't understand, don't grasp it. You might say, well, okay, those who grasp it now, you can come with me. We go further. Those who still don't grasp it, you can go now. But what does Jesus do? He comes near to all of them so that their hesitations may soon be over, that their hesitations will still heal. Again, this is encouraging. When you are in doubt, you should join the circle of the disciples. That's the place where Jesus wants to meet you. Even when you are on the internet, join the services. And then you will find out that Jesus comes near. And then the second thing, what is Jesus doing? He's coming near. And in what is he coming near? Jesus spoke. How will Jesus be near to you? Do you want to see him, have a special dream, hear a voice from heaven or whatever? Now, Jesus comes near to you in speaking to you. That's very essential. I was thinking of Paul, the apostle. Paul, the apostle, is a very experienced person in being near while on a distance. The thing we face today. How can we be near to each other while we are on a distance? Well, Paul was often in prison, hundreds of miles away from the ones he felt connected with. However, by speaking to them, writing to them, paying attention to his words, he was able to be very near to them. And that is how Jesus wants to be near to us. He speaks to us. How? Where? In the Bible, we find his words. And we better take careful attention and pray that the Lord opens our ears, our eyes, and then we will meet Jesus in his words. How wonderful. This is the way Jesus comes close to us. Two things Jesus does. He comes near and he speaks. Then after we've seen what Jesus does, then second, who is Jesus? Who is the person who gives the commission? Who is Jesus? What have we learned now? In fact, I must be careful now, otherwise we will be here tomorrow still when we have to answer the question, who have we discovered now that Jesus is? There's so much to say about that. Let me mention just a few thoughts. You remember that Matthew began his book with the word Genesis. And we thought, okay, is there a new Genesis? Matthew says, yes, there's a new Genesis. Okay. How did the first book of Genesis end? Do you remember it? It ended with the story of Joseph. Joseph, rejected by his brothers, despised, thrown into a pit, thrown into a dungeon, rejected, neglected. But in the end, as you know, Joseph was a great king, not only for the Egyptians, but for many people. And he revealed himself to his brothers. Joseph was alive. Who would have expected that? So now in the end of Matthew's Genesis book, Jesus reveals himself as the great living king. Wow, to be worshipped. Had the brothers of Joseph would bow down for his brother, for their brother, and now the brothers of Jesus bow down for Jesus, their big brother. Who is Jesus? A king. The promised king to David. There would be a king greater than David and greater than Solomon. A king with a rule and a kingdom never ending. A kingdom extending all to all the nations. The promised son to Abraham. God had selected Abraham to become a people that would be blessed and would be a blessing for all the nations. But as we know, the people of Abraham had the same problem as all people in the world. However, the Redeemer has come for the descendants of Abraham, the son of Abraham, to bless them and to make them a blessing for all the nations. The son of Abraham has been born. In fact, we see here the new Adam. Adam, that was Adam and Eve, that was what all the Bible began with. The purpose of God was that the whole world would be filled with people reflecting the image of God. See here the new Adam. Believe in him and you will be transformed in his image. The world will indeed be full with people worshipping Jesus and reflecting the new Adam. Who is Jesus? There's one thing more that I would like to mention. For in the words that Jesus speaks, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me in the ears of the disciples and of every Jew. There is resembling a word from the Old Testament. A minute ago, I discovered that this word is also on the pulpit of the Nieuwe Kerk in Delft. I will show it to you another time. It's Daniel 7. Verses 13 and 14, I will only mention Daniel 7, verse 14. Then we see that the Son of Man is revealed to Daniel. For Daniel, it's still far away. And then Daniel hears, to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting. It shall not pass away. His kingdom, one that not shall be destroyed. Here he is, the promised Messiah, seen by Daniel. A kingdom begins that will never end. This is the new reality that we are into. And we need to realize this with our minds, with our hearts, with our whole bodies to respond. For this king offers grace when you come to him, offers forgiveness, reconciliation with God, the presence of God in your heart and into the community of those who believe him. This is the one who gives the commission. Now, after looking at the persons who receive the commission, the place, and the person who gives the commission, let's pay attention to the purpose of the commission. When you read verse 19 and 20, it is as if we hear a lot of things. Go, make disciples, baptize, teach. It sounds as if Jesus says a lot of things. But actually, when you look carefully at the text, there is only one imperative. And the other things are describing what has to be done. What's the only imperative in the text? It is, make disciples of all nations. That's what it is all about. What is the purpose of what Jesus says? In fact, Jesus says that what I've done with you, what I've taken time for to do with you, to teach you, to take you with me, to show you who I am, to send you, all these things, I made you disciples, until in the end, just a minute ago, you were really seeing and grasping it, and worshipping, and enjoying who I am. You were not the first. Remember the book of Matthew, the first ones were the magicians, the Gentile pagan magicians of the East. They were worshipping Jesus just in the beginning when he was born. And after that we find a Roman centurion, a Canaanite woman, all kind of people. But in the end, okay, no problem that you are late. But the purpose is that you see and rejoice. God, the creator of the universe, is in control. And out of love he has sent and given his only son to redeem you, to rescue you, to give you eternal life. Eternal life, that's not just life after death. When your body dies, your spirit goes to heaven. Eternal life, that means Jesus was risen from the dead. And you as well will rise from the dead when you trust Jesus. You will have a body again. And the world will be saved from all its diseases, its COVID problems, its war and hunger problems. There will be a renewed earth made by the Creator. And through Jesus, you can enter. You've endless hope and joy. And now, what is the purpose of the commission that what you received, you will share? In order, not only that a few people, but in order that the nations of the world, the whole family of Adam, all nations, will come to the same point. Will be a family of worshipping people of all nations. That's the purpose. And in the commission, Jesus gives a few details about how that will be reached. First, by going. In the Old Testament, when you wanted to see the glory of God, you had to make a long travel. You should travel to Jerusalem, think of the Queen of Sheba. Long travel, and then you could see something of the glory of Israel's God. But now the new covenant is there. It's not just come and see. But you receive glory, God is into you, and you are sent. Like the example I gave you, when you live close to Amish people who don't know about the COVID situation, you must not wait until they come to you, you must go to them. Well, that's the same for us. A detail about the commission, we can wait until people join church. No, the point is, your fellow students, classmates, colleagues, they are the place where God sends you to pray for them, to show you something of your hope and joy, to try to connect and to help them meet Jesus. And even some will have to go further, not on their working place, but God will call them to new places, even new countries, to go there to share the gospel. For the gospel is a gospel for all nations, for the whole world. Go. That's the first detail. Second detail, baptize them. It's not enough when there is coming some relationship to Jesus in our life. That's good, that's fine, and we must take time for that. But there must come a public moment that you really submit to Jesus. That you really make a covenant with Jesus. That everybody may know I'm a follower of Jesus. I want to be immersed and forever be connected with Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Immersed in the knowledge of Him. And be one of the embassy of the kingdom of God on earth. Go, baptize, and last thing is teach. Yeah, the ministry of Jesus will be a teaching ministry. Teach them to observe, teach them to keep all my teachings. This word keep also means something like treasure. When you've got a treasure, you don't want to lose it. Time after time you look at it. Oh, how wonderful. And this is important for the church. Treasure the words of God. Treasure the book of Matthew. Treasure the teachings of Jesus. Say, we've learned the teachings from chapter 5 to 7. The Sermon on the Mount. They're so precious. They're worth your full attention. Chapter 10. Instruction of the laborers. How are we as witnesses of Jesus to go on into this world that can be hostile to the gospel? Chapter 13. How do we deal with disappointment when there are many people who don't want to know of Jesus? How will we go on in spreading the news? Chapter 18, the nature of the kingdom. Chapter 24, 25, what will happen until the King of Kings will be revealed in glory? All these teachings, we must treasure them. For then it will fill our minds, our awareness, and then we will be able to spread it to others. The purpose of the commission. Finally, the power for the commission. What will help us? What will strengthen us to do this? For I was very curious to know how would the disciples respond on this word of Jesus. Imagine you are with 11 people and you are instructed to reach all nations. Quite a commission, isn't it? Where will you find the power for this? Well, Jesus mentions two very important things. The first thing that gives us power is, I am with you all days. I am with you, in other words, Emmanuel. You remember my name, says Jesus. My name, given by my birth, was Emmanuel. That means God with us. I am with you. We are on our ways from Easter to Pentecost. What does Pentecost mean? What is or who is the Holy Spirit? It is the nearness, it is the presence, it's the fullness of power, of insight, of joy, of the nearness of Christ and of God the Father. I am with you. Take some time to pray, to be filled with this Holy Spirit. This will empower you to be able to share the message. I'm with you. These words have also many echoes in the Old Testament. They are not just a comforting word. They are comforting and strengthening you for a task. When Moses, when he was broken and old, far away from his people, was called by God to go to the Egyptians and to Israel to proclaim judgment and salvation, he hesitated to leave his comfort zone. But the Lord said, I am with you. So in the same way, we are sent to our colleagues, classmates, to share somehow the gospel. But he knows we hesitate. But he says, I am with you. Joshua had to enter the promised land to conquer nations. Quite a scary, frightening task, isn't it? But the Lord said, read Joshua 1 again and again and again. He said, I am with you. Remember, I am with you. So now we are sent not to conquer and kill nations. We are sent to disciple nations. And the Lord says, I am with you. So now I think with these remarks there would be to say much more, but time goes fast. We have more insight in the new situation that we find ourselves in. What is the message, the comprised message that Matthew gives us here? Realize yourself. Although you can't see it when you look outside, you don't feel it inside, things look like before. You now know who is the appointed king. You now know about the defeat of death and devil. And you'd better adapt to it. Let the joy enter in your mind, your heart, your body. Live in response to the new situation and witness it. In fact, That's what it is all about. Finally, let me make some remarks. How can we apply this message in our personal lives? Well, first, I would like to ask you to talk about this with each other, to discuss this. How does it apply to your life? So please take some time to discuss where your insights were, where you received help by the sermon, by the text, but also where are your hesitations? How do you practice the Great Commission? How do we practice it together? This needs really attention and discussion with each other and prayer. But okay, let me make a few remarks. First, a few remarks about the motivation to be active with the Great Commission. How will we be involved in the Great Commission? And I would say, be careful for fear. What do I mean? I mean, you could be involved with the Great Commission because you are afraid that you do not feel accepted by God when you don't spend enough time and energy in sharing the gospel. In fact, then you are a bit frightened. You think, I can't feel to be a good Christian when I don't do it. And fear is not a really good motivator. Fear not to be accepted, not feel that you please God. Or you might also fear, when I don't do it, well, will the kingdom spread? Will it go on? When we don't do anything, then we are a bit worried. But we should know that Christ, our risen Lord, is in control. He's in control. He is the head. The Holy Spirit is in control. He's busy with it. This. We just need to follow him, to be tuned with him. So be careful for fear, but also be careful for fearlessness. I will explain that too. Imagine you fall in love with a wonderful girl and you don't know whether she loves you. In fact, she loves you and she searches for ways to let you know. On the morning, you get a phone call from her and she says, I don't feel well today. Could you do the groceries for me? Well, I think I know what you would do. You would say, yes, of course, I will get the groceries for you. Immediately you will respond to her question. That's the way you respond. You won't say, oh, things will be fine, don't worry. No, you will do what she says. So being involved with the Great Commission is not the same as saying, well, Jesus is in control, so everything will be fine. No, we will in a loving way search to respond. Then how will we respond? What needs our attention now and the coming days and weeks? First, we really need to be filled with this Easter message, with this message about who is the King. It must fill us with joy. In the Dutch government, there is a person I know. And I think it's quite funny that in the government there is a person you know. You think, wow, you are in an influential position now. Well, Jesus has said, me has been given all authority. And thanks to Matthew, we know the person who is in control. So first, take time to read your Bible in order to be filled with joy, with seeing, with worshipping. In our services, we always begin with worshipping, then listening, and then we feel empowered to be sent. That's the first thing. Pay attention to the Bible prayerfully. Pray not just to ask things, but to listen, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then, second, connect. We really need to connect with each other. Even while we cannot be physically together, we need to connect. For the new reality that we are in is strange for many people. And that doesn't help to respond. So we need people who know that we are in the same situation. That will make us stronger. That will help us. So connect. Discuss this sermon, this book of Matthew. And then last, look for opportunities. Pray for opportunities. You can wait and wait, but you will see the Lord has points where the Great Commission begins. I was thinking of Philip. You know Philip in the book of Acts. One day the Holy Spirit said, go to the lonely way to Gaza. A lonely way? Yeah, just go, said the Spirit. And he went. And he saw an African man busy with the word of God. And Philip connected to this man and was able to share the gospel. It was just a one-to-one interaction. But how wonderful is this? Philip wasn't able to disciple a whole continent, the continent of Africa. But he was able to disciple one man. And this one man, believing Jesus, baptized, is the tiny mustard seed that goes to Africa. And we know what can happen to mustard seeds. It will be a great tree, and as well, the kingdom will go on. So find opportunities. You may be a kind of Philip also. Keep in mind the new situation. My brother, my sister, we are going to finish. Jesus says, I am with you. And he says, all the days to the end of the age. What will be the situation in the end of the age when Jesus returns? Then there will be worshipping nations, a people from all nations. Christ will come in glory. My friends, isn't this a wonderful vision to share in, to be involved in, and to spread? Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word that reveals the situation that we are in. Lord, we admit we are hesitant. Our eyes are dim and don't see well. Our ears are slow to hear. But we thank you that you go on to come near, to speak, to fill us with joy, to humble us, to give us new lives. Lord, on our way from Easter to Pentecost, we pray, fill us all with your Holy Spirit and enable us to share your wonderful gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.